And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 19th of July, 2012. It was on this date, 1954, J.R.R. Tolkien's The Fellowship of the Ring was first published, the first volume of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It was the sequel to his book, The Hobbit, which came out in 1937. Hobbits, small human-like creatures, hairy feet, large appetites, but simple appetites, who generally like to stay close to home. Tolkien once wrote, "I am, in fact, a hobbit in all but size. I like gardens, trees, and unmechanized farmlands. I smoke a pipe and like good, plain food." The Hobbit was the story of Bilbo Baggins, who went on an adventure through Middle-earth and came home with a magic ring. It was successful in 1937. The publisher asked for a sequel, and so Tolkien spent the next 17 years working on The Lord of the Rings, made elaborate charts to keep track of the events of the story. Finally, in the fall of 1949, he typed the final copy himself, 500,000 words, which he typed on a typewriter on his lap with two fingers. And the first volume came out on this day in 1954. It's the anniversary of the first convention for women's rights, the Seneca Falls Convention, which began on this date in 1848, organized by Lucretia Mott and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, which called for religious, economical, and political equality, which was greeted by the press with a great deal of scorn, 72 years before women would be granted the right to vote. It's the birthday of Charles Horace Mayo, Rochester, Minnesota, 1865, co-founder of the Mayo Clinic with his older brother William. In 1919, the two of them formed the Mayo Properties Association, a not-for-profit organization, and transferred all their private holdings into the association, and the two of them began drawing salaries instead of a share of the profits. The Mayo Clinic, the country's first integrated group medical practice. Here's a poem for today by Joy Sutphen, Tornado Warning. That is not the country for poetry. It has no mountains. Its flowers are plain and never poisonous. Its gardens are packed into blue mason jars. There are no hedges bordering the roads. The sky flies up from the ditches, loose in every direction. Yet I knew it to be passionate, even in its low rolling hills, where a red tractor pushed through the oat field, cutting down gold straw and beating a stream of grain into the wagon trailing behind in the stubble. I knew it to be melodious in its birch woods, leaves shadowing a stone-strewn river, the path along the bank softened with pine needles, sunlight woven in and out of branches, the many colors of green, solid as a pipe organ's opening chord. I knew it would haunt the memory with its single elm, where a herd of cows found shade in the July heat, their bony tails swinging the tufted bristle left and right over the high ledge of a hip bone, while at the horizon a black fist of storm came on, something not to be averted, something singular in its fury, as any blind heart knows. Tornado Warning by Joy Sutphen. Straight Out of View, the name of the book, Beacon Press, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch. Thank you.
From a brand new CD to the station entitled Two Lutes, Lute Duets from England's Golden Age, done by Brian McFarlane and William Sims. Time is 3:15 and you are tuned in to KTRO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is Jordan Nigro from Sail, who's going to be talking about a whale watch cruise which is going on this Saturday, and you should get your tickets now because they're going quickly. Jordan, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, tell us about SAIL, if you could, please.
So SAIL stands for Southeast Alaska Independent Living, and we are an independent living center, which independent living centers exist all over the country. And we are southeast-wide, so we have an office in Juneau, Ketchikan, Haines, and Sitka, and then we do outreach to rural communities that we don't have offices in. And what we do, our mission is to inspire personal independence. So we work with any age, any disability, and we help people to be more independent in their community of choice, whatever that looks like for them. So it can really, it really varies. We do a lot of out-of-the-box stuff, and we just do our best to meet people where they're at and to help people be more independent.
Can you give me a few examples of how you do that?
Well, you know, one of our one thing that we offer is a loan closet for assistive technology. So if somebody's having a hard time getting around, needs to borrow a wheelchair, something like that, we have that sort of stuff. We also have what we call pocket talkers, which help people to hear better, amplify sounds. So if you're you know, getting older and your hearing might be going, or you've always had a hearing issue but you haven't been able to afford hearing aids, we have these pocket talkers, which really can make life completely different if you can hear what people are saying. And then we also have our outdoor recreation and community access program, which gets folks out in the community doing recreation. And we do that in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. And we do that for folks of all ages, including seniors. So that's really fun. And just kind of teaching people what's out there and what they can do, because for most of us, having healthy recreation and activities is part of a healthy, independent life. We'll also do a lot with folks just working one-on-one with people, figuring out what their benefits look like, what they might need as far as Social Security, things like that. And we have one program I think you and I have talked about before, the Home Map program. I think the last time I was on, I talked about that. That stands for Home Modification for Aging in Place. And so that's where we come into your house. And if you are either just getting older and you know you can't get around your house as well as you could before, or you developed a disability that you need things different in your house than they were, we'll come in and do a survey of your house and figure out, you know, how to make it more accessible for you so you can stay at home, because most people want to stay at home. So,
but how many clients do you serve region-wide?
We serve about 900 people year-round throughout Southeast Alaska.
Where do you get your money from?
Well, we get our money from a variety of places. We have federal grants, state grants, and then we do a lot of fundraising. We also have city grants, too.
Fundraising like whale watch cruises?
Yes, such as whale watch cruises. So this is the first time we've done a whale watch wine tasting cruise. We have another whale watch cruise that we have done in the spring. And this year, you know, Allen Marine has been really a great donor to SAIL and a great partner in a lot of, you know, making their vessels accessible. And we gave them an award a couple of years ago for really doing some pretty great work to be an accessible company. And so at any rate, this year they offered to donate another cruise, so we decided to use it for a wine tasting. So the cruise is Odom Corporation is donating the wine tasting, and Tom Loker is donating time to play music for us. So we have the cruise departs from Stater Harbor in Ock Bay at 5:30 on Saturday and comes back at 8:30. So we'll go out, look for some whales, watch some whales, and whatever other wildlife we might see, and taste wines.
And make money for sale at the same time.
And make money for independence at the same time. That's right.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are $60, and you can get them by calling SAIL at 586-4920. Or coming to the office, which is at 3225 Hospital Drive. We have a handful of tickets left. We have quite a few left at this point, and we probably, if we still have more left on Saturday, we will take them down to the dock and sell them at the boat. So, you know, if at the last minute on Saturday you decide you want to come and you didn't buy a ticket, come, because hopefully we can fit you in. But we'll have some you know, light refreshments, and it should be really fun, and it's definitely for a good cause. So
last time I went on a whale watching cruise, I definitely saw a lot of whales.
Yeah, I've heard actually that there's a lot of activity this year. So this will be my first time out on the water this year, I'm ashamed to say. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope we see some stuff.
Say people couldn't make plans to go, but because they don't have the time, could they buy a ticket still or a pair of tickets and donate them to a worthy cause?
Absolutely. If you want to buy tickets and you're not going to be able to make it, we'll find somebody that can use those tickets. Or if you want to just make a donation to SAIL, you can always go on our website and do that. Mm-hmm. If you decide that you're going to come at the last minute, we won't have the credit card machine at the dock, so it would have to be cash or check.
All right.
It's
this Saturday. What time does the boat leave? What time should people be there?
People should be there for boarding between 5 and 5:15. The boat will depart at 5:30. And just keep in mind that parking is always kind of a nightmare down there. So come earlier enough that you can drive and park your car somewhere and walk back.
You found good luck parking at the school.
Yes.
And tickets, again, can be gotten by how?
Tickets you can get by calling SAIL 586-4920 or come by our office at 3225 Hospital Drive.
All right, Jordan, I got anything else you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, I don't think so. Thanks so much for coming and or for having me, and thanks to Odom and Alan Marine and Tom Loker for helping us put this event on.
All right. YUAS alumni.
UAS environmental science degree allowed me to freely study a science of interest, which was snowpack and avalanche science, which led me into helicopter ski guiding and eventually into guiding film production companies in the big mountains in Alaska.
Kent Sheeler, lead guide, Teton Gravity Research, Bachelor of Science, Environmental Science, University of Alaska Southeast. Learn more at uas.alaska.edu/y-alumni.
Time is 3:32 and you're tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon, where today we're looking at one of the alternative choices for middle schoolers. One of them is the Montessori Middle School program. Here to talk about are Dave Chalmers and Dana Weiler. Thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, what is a middle schooler? How old are they? What grades are they?
Middle schooler is a 7th and 8th grader, ages 12, 13, 14, who's looking at transition time in their life where they're coming into themselves and getting to like to view themselves as breaking away from Some of the dependence they've had on their parents and becoming a little more independent thinker, independent learner, and more independent in their views on the world as well.
How did the Montessori concept develop?
The Montessori concept developed, I believe Chris and Rick Trostel brought it to Juno almost 20 years ago. They came from the program, a very successful program in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and wanted to get the program started here in Juneau. So the elementary program's been part of our public school alternative programs for quite a few years, whereas the adolescent program was started by Dominic Bradford 8 years ago, I believe, mm-hmm. and Dana started in the program 7 years ago. First year it was a private program, and then it was brought under the umbrella of the Juno School District.
Tell me a little bit about Maria Montessori, please.
Well, Maria Montessori was an innovative, very wonderfully unique person who was able to look at the development of the child, whereas traditional education really looked at how, from an adult perspective, how the society felt students should learn. She approached learning from watching children and how they grew and how they developed and following their natural instincts and as a means to maximizing the potential that they had to educate themselves and to build on their prior knowledge as they grew. So that's pretty much what I know about her. She also started by working in inner cities with some of the poorest of the poor and focused on many real-life skills in which empowered students to take on the responsibilities of real life and in a learning environment. And that is something that has been carries over in Montessori programs throughout the world, and it's an important part of our program as well, is providing real life experiences and real learning experiences for the students. I guess I could give one example, since we're talking about the adolescent program, is that we have two plots out at the community garden, and we spend the second week of school camping out at the community garden. And a lot of that is about a team building, but it's also about real work experiences that transfer into a sustainability curriculum that we teach throughout the year. The students harvest a lot of potatoes for Sandy Williams, and those mostly go to the food bank and to the glory hole. But we're also learning how to plant our own potatoes and do our own harvest, as well as rhubarb and a few root crops that are marginally successful, but we use them to help feed the class. Where the students make lunch for the whole class. We either weekly or monthly or biweekly. It depends on what we can afford to do as a classroom. And they make their own jam products from wild berry jams that we harvest, rose hips and blueberries and huckleberries, and make some marmalades and make different types of jams, and we sell them at the public market. And the students learn small business skills from that, as well as the responsibility of being good stewards for the earth.
Dana, how does one become a Montessori teacher?
Well, I suppose it depends on your program. Being a public school program, we have to have a teaching license, teaching certificate for the state, but also we do Montessori training, in which case we look at the philosophy, the pedagogy of Maria Montessori and the adolescent, being that we focus on the adolescent. So there's additional classes and license that we do to get that portion of our training as well.
Is there such thing as a typical day?
A typical day generally starts off with a morning meeting. so that everybody can be on the same page, discuss what's going to happen for the day. We really focus on community, and so therefore we have to discuss and talk about what needs to happen, or if the students have something they feel needs to happen in the day, they can bring that up so we can address that and see how it's going to fit into what we want to do. And then we have our regular classes as well. We have lit class and we have math class.
Occupations and humanities, which we rotate in generally in 4-week cycles. And occupations is what is commonly known as a science curriculum. So it's a whole range of sciences. We call it occupations because the goal is to get the students to look at the depth of expertise and develop an area of interest and really dig in and get to a level of understanding or inquiry, more importantly, inquiry, that an expert in the field may develop as well. One example is a year when we really focused on the Tongass National Forest Land Management Plan was up for review, and we got our students involved in that, got in the Forest Service personnel, and really went through all the different plans, had a big debate, had this students pose as they certainly got involved as different from the perspective of all the different stakeholders that would be involved in making the decisions for how the Tongass was being utilized. And then they voted on that, and they actually submitted a plan to the Tongass. You know, it was interesting because the students' conclusions actually ended up matching what actually happened with the plan. I'm not sure how much input we had into that, but it was a wonderful example of the potential there is for getting students involved in real work and real decision-making and struggling with some of the pros and the cons of different issues in the classroom. So that's one reason we look at science from an occupational perspective. And the other course that is our humanities, which is our social sciences. And that, of course, we look at things from the same point of view, where we look at the students developing an area of expertise and getting some depth rather than breadth out of their learning of American world and cultural history.
You mentioned pros and cons. What are the pros and cons of Montessori education, and what family is Montessori education for, and who is it not for?
Well, I think Dane and I can both speak to that. I think that the pros are that we offer, the major pro is that we offer a small learning community, and that we really focus on working as a team, as a learning team, and developing responsibility and the need for responsible action within our community to help everyone be successful in the classroom. And because Dana and I teach everything, and we have two classrooms that we share, and there's a lot of overlap and integration of all of the subjects that we teach in our curriculum, it's very seamless. We don't have the traditional, we don't have bells, we don't have the traditional break between classes. The students are truly a learning community throughout the day. We also eat with our students. We have lunch together. Once a week we have family-style lunch. That's very different from the large cafeteria model that most students encounter in a larger middle school. So I just say I think that smaller learning community is evident in everything we do throughout the day. It's a big part of how we're different. Is there something else I didn't touch on?
I was going to say that one of the pros is we put a lot of responsibility on the students, but you could also look at that as a con as well. If you're a student and you're not ready for a lot of responsibility, because with responsibility you get more freedom, then that could be a con in your direction. But it's definitely a pro for the student who is ready to take on some responsibility, create some projects that they really are interested in and want to see get off the ground. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Is there a timeline? Is there a specific date that people need to register their young children to middle school?
Well, obvious, as since we're getting close to August, as soon as possible is better than later, but any time up till school.
I believe there's another lottery going to be held at the beginning of August.
Yeah.
Oh, but don't hold me to that one. But I know that there is another one coming up.
Yeah.
It definitely is time to get registered if you're interested. And the application can be found on the Juneau School District webpage under optional schools, as well as going down to central office on the corner of Glacier Avenue and 12th. And applications can be picked up there as well, and that's where they can be turned in.
Isn't one of the ideas for the lesson program to be in the early learning program first?
I'm sorry.
Do you stress them to get involved at an early age as possible?
Well, that can be wonderful. You definitely can get the full impact of all if you start early. But we've had great success with students who really love the program who have come in as middle schoolers as well. So you can start as early in the public school system as first grade, but coming in later can be okay too. So we have had a lot of wonderful, wonderful students who have come in at 7th and 8th grade. So it can be good for everyone.
Another thing I'd like to mention, Jeff, is that we certainly accept 8th graders as well. So either age is equally fine, but coming in as a 7th grade has a certain advantage for a student because we are such a close-knit community that the two-year span of working with a student really does make a difference. And we miss our 8th graders when they move on to 9th grade. We miss them dearly. And it's hard to imagine another year starting without them, but the new students come in and we're totally invigorated by them, and our community changes, and the 7th graders going into 8th grade can't even imagine how are we going to do this next year without the kids that were here with us last year. But it always works out, and it's always we're all enriched by the new students that come in every year to the program. So not having a prior Montessori experience at the adolescent level is not detrimental to the student. They have an equal chance of success and fit right away. I think the kids work really hard at that, and we certainly do as well.
I've been talking to Deb Chalmers and Dana Weiler from the Montessori Middle School program. If people need more information about that, is there a phone number they can call?
Can probably give me a call at 723-3397.
Anything you'd like to add, I might have forgotten to ask?
What else?
I
just said we love what we do, and another aspect of the program is Dana and I have been working together now. This will be our 7th year together, I believe, and I just think I couldn't teach with a better co-teacher and partner, and hope Dana feels the same way, but I think that dynamic, we balance each other beautifully in the classroom, and I think the students have a lot to offer to the district's children, and we look forward to having a wonderful class this coming year.
Thanks. Dana and Deb, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Hope Harris from her CD, Hope, celebrating all the different artists around in their history. Time is 3:49 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Last guest is Nancy DeTourney here to tell us about what's going on in the art community here in the capital city. Nancy, thank you for coming to the station.
Thanks for having me. We have lots to do as usual. We got a few things. You were just talking about the Montessori program. The City Museum is still taking their applications for art shows, exhibits, and the Jump Society is accepting submissions to the 10th Jump Film Festival. Amazing. This evening at 6:30, there's a Raptor Center board meeting. That's at the Empire Building. We've got good movies over all around town, so check out the Empire to get the full skinny on that. School's beginning. It's that time of year. 8 a.m., UAS Summer Student Government meeting out at the university. I'm amazed that they're starting at 8 a.m., but there you have it.
That's why they're in government.
It's good training, I guess. Okay, and then at noon, of course, on Friday, is the Kimball Organ Concert, which is free. At 5:30, we have Concerts in the Park, and this week it's going to be fabulous. It's always fabulous, but this week is really fabulous, too. Riley and Shona, Irene Mueller, and the Hen House. And we're going to experiment with the new park configuration. You know how there's kind of like a wedding cake out there? They call it the wedding cake, a little hill. It's sort of a little central area. We're going to try putting the concert on top of the wedding cake and hoping that that will provide some seating and better visibility and all sorts of stuff. If it's rainy, goodness knows it, not likely to do that at all. But if it is rainy, we can have it at the Jack. So stand by and do plan to come down to the concerts in the park. Up on the tram, Tom Loker at the Timberline Bar and Grill starts at 5:30 also. 6 p.m., Wushkanade Poetry Slam at the Rookery Cafe. Open mic is open to any performance. Bring 3 original poems to compete in the slam. The winner takes home $25 in cash. If you need more information about this, JunoPoetrySlam at gmail.com. We'll get you that information. 7 p.m., Dan Hobson's doing classical guitar at the Baranoff Hotel in the Gold Room. At 9:30 p.m., Fire on McGinnis, Celtic rock band, going to be at the Rendezvous, 21 plus, no cover charge. And I heard them rehearsing last night. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great fun.
Bagpipes and rock guitars.
Who knew? So, go there for that. Let's see. Saturday all day, it's National Dance Day. So, the Arts for Youth put that up on our website. Not sure what that means, but I think we should all be dancing about it. At 8:30 a.m., Eagle Crest is doing its 5, 10, and 1-mile races. 10-mile racers receive an inaugural race T-shirt while the supplies last. Race registration starts at 8:30 near the base of the Eagle Crest Ski Hill Road. Call 523-9336 if you're interested in participating or need more information. Out at the Nugget Mall all weekend long, it is Christmas in July, Arts, Crafts, and Antiques Fair. Now, if you're like me, Christmas sneaks up on you, and the next thing you know, you're late. So you might as well get started now in July. Go right out to the Nugget Mall. You've got the Saturday and Sunday to get some really nice arts and crafts and antiques, too. 1 p.m., Sequence Skate Competition at the Juneau Skate Park, the Pipeline. It's out on the Mendenhall Loop Road. First of 3 contest series this summer by Sequence Board Shop. Warm-ups at 1, contest at 3. All ages welcome with a $5 entry fee, cash product prizes, free products after the contest, all sorts of stuff. Go on out there and have a nice time. The Woosh K Spoken Word Retreat is out at the Saga Eagle Valley Center. It is this Saturday and Sunday from 3 p.m. to 3 p.m. Both of those days.
3 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Oh, I don't know how they do that. It's magic. Magic
very,
is done with words.
Very quick.
Yeah. I like those short ones. But anyway, it's Saturday and Sunday. So 3 p.m. Saturday to 3 p.m. Sunday. I don't know. Something like that. There are rides available. $10. Please bring some food to share. RSVP is required as there are a limited number of beds. So you can go onto the Woosh K on Facebook in order to register. I suspect if you go to the Poetry Slam on Friday at the Rookery, you'll be able to get some more information about that, too, if you're interested in participating. At 5:30, there's an Alan Marine tour, Whale Tales and Wine, presented by SAIL. It's a fundraiser for them. They leave, boarding begins at 5:15. Tickets are $60, and all proceeds benefit individuals with disabilities, the SAIL program. 586-4920 for more information about that. At 6 p.m., it's Saturday Night Swing at the Canvas. Join the Southeast Swing every first and third Saturday of the month and dance to a wide range of music from 30s jazz to rockabilly blues and more. No experience or partner is needed. It's $5 at the door. You can get more information at 209-4837. Dan Hobson is at the Gold Room. Let's see. There's a New England Barn Dance, Dancing the Night Away at St. Anne's Parish Hall. That's on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Sunday. We have the Sunday Market. It will run from noon till 4, and I believe for those of you who have been around a little while, you might remember Ursa Major was a group of kids, string kids. Some of them now play with the symphony. Some of them, one of my favorite quotes from one of them when I said, "So you no longer play the cello," he said, "I haven't given it up. I just don't do it anymore." But I think he's going to perhaps participate on Sunday. So there'll be music at the market, noon to 4-ish on the Jack Lawn. It's going to be a gorgeous day. And if it isn't, we're going to go indoors, of course. And let's see, there's international folk dancing at the JRC downtown. On Monday, summer science camps begin. Kitchen chemistry for ages 4 through 5. It's limited at 20 students. So you need to call, but I don't have the phone number, so you'll have to check in with us on that. The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is sponsoring the Latsine Hoop Camp in Juneau at the DZ Middle School. It's a free week-long summer camp for youth ages 5 to 12. Integrates Tlingit language into an intensive basketball camp. It's contact 586-9272 to get registered for that. Let's see, there's a Magic Realist Kids Writing Workshop at the Canvas, 586-1750. That's on Tuesday at 9 a.m. There's a teen council event at the Nugget Mall at 11:30 p.m. I suspect it's a.m. on Tuesday also. And my favorite thing, they're doing those retro sci-fi films over at the Planetarium at 6:30 on Tuesday. It's free. It's War of the Worlds. How much fun can you have? Wednesday there's hula dance classes at the Filipino Dance Hall Studio, 723-2708 to register for that. And Memorial Day showing and an evening with screenwriter Mike Conklin at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Wednesday, it's $5 admission for military personnel. That's at 6:30 on Wednesday. And, of course, Thursday, the fair up at Haines starts. So, hey, we got lots to do.
All right, the Southeast Alaska State Fair Thursday through Sunday, I guess.
That's right. Another fabulous day in Southeast.
All right, Nancy DeTourney, thank you for coming down to the station today and talking about things that are going on not only in the capital city but also in Haines.
Hey, have fun.
Time is 3:58, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Swasta Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1, K220 BT Sarasuna at 91.9, and Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. You can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. We're also live on the internet at www.ktuo.org. Coming up tomorrow at 3 on a junior afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. He'll learn about the Alaska Vocational Resource Training Center with guest Kevin Araki. Edgar will be here to highlight Saturday's New England Barn Dance, and we'll talk to Patrick Van Poole from Sequence Board Shop about Saturday's skate competition. At Writer's Almanac Music and More tomorrow at 3 on KTUO News. Weather forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain mostly to the south of Juneau, low temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Friday, increasing clouds, or decreasing clouds with high temperatures around 72 degrees, light winds. Friday night, partly cloudy skies with low temperatures 45 to 51 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, increasing clouds with a slight chance of rain and high temperatures around 65 degrees. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thanks for tuning into a Juno Afternoon today. If you'd like to be on a Juno Afternoon or know someone that should be, have them get a hold of me. My name is Jeff Brown. My phone number is 463-6425. Have a great evening.
Arizona sheriff is put on trial. Joe Arpaio faces a class action lawsuit over accusations of racial profiling.
He's accused of targeting Latinos during what he called crime suppression raids.
Today is Thursday, July 19th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.